Lord, as we explore your written word and listen to my spoken words, make known to us your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. Jesus and his disciples had just been in Jericho, which is about 12 miles from Jerusalem. And they had made that long and difficult journey towards David's city because it was Passover. And so all the faithful were heading up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. And it is up from Jericho. Jericho is the, I know all this because I've just come back from the diocesan pilgrimage to the Holy Land. So do excuse me if I just keep dropping in to what I'm saying. The things that I've been seeing and experiencing over the past 12 days or so. Jericho is the lowest city on earth. It is considerably below sea level. And Jerusalem is about 3,000 metres above sea level. And so it's 12 miles, but it is a considerable climb. And the way is hot and rough and difficult. It's the route that Jesus chose when he was telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was a route known for being hard and dangerous. So the pilgrims coming their way up to Jerusalem that year, when Jesus was heading for Jerusalem, as we hear here in Mark's Gospel, they had already come a long and difficult way. And as you get to Bethphage and Bethany, and you just mount the crest of the hill, that is your first glimpse of the Holy City. And we know that Jesus entered and went to the temple, we're told, and by the time he'd got to the temple, it was already late. And so, as Jesus arrived over the crest of the hill, the sun would just be reflecting as it went down off the golden stones of the temple. How excited they must have been to have reached that point in their journey, full of anticipation for the Passover, celebrating again God's great power and mercy in setting his people free from slavery in Egypt, from the yoke of Pharaoh, setting them free for their journey to the promised land. How high their anticipation must have been. Passover this year is on Monday. And so I'm going to do it again now. And so these last 2 weeks that we were in Jerusalem, those crowds were beginning to gather. The city was really busy, and there was a really heightened sense of expectation, even in the 21st century, of people coming together to do something really important and special. So Jesus and his disciples would have been caught up in all that. We've been told just a couple of chapters previously, in Mark chapter 8, that Jesus' disciples, through the testimony of Peter, Simon Peter, had finally come to recognize who Jesus was and acknowledge it. Who do you say? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Some say Elijah, some say another prophet, but who do you say that I am? And Simon said, You are the Messiah, the Christ, the one sent and anointed by God, the Son of the living God. The disciples had got it. All through Mark's gospel, Jesus had been ushering in the kingdom of God with signs and wonders, but telling people, don't say anything yet. Don't say anything yet, because my time's not yet come. The disciples had finally recognized who Jesus was, although they hadn't yet come to understand what that would mean, either for Jesus or for them. But this event that we've heard today, that we commemorate today, this festival on which you have been able to choose as the day you recommit yourselves to Christ and you take this step in your journey, this is the day that publicly, finally, Jesus would accept the public acclamation of who he is and his purpose. This was the moment when all that anticipation came to fruition and the crowds finally let rip. While we were in Jerusalem, we kept being caught up in huge parties of people on their way to the Wailing Wall, to the original wall of the temple that Jesus would have been going to. Parties on their way there for bar mitzvahs, for weddings, for some other family celebration. And they had bands walking through the streets and instruments and canopies, and they handed out free food. It was excellent. Handed out free food as they went past. They caught up the crowds, even visiting Christians, caught up in the excitement of what was going on. Finally, the disciples had recognized Jesus, and Jesus was letting the lid off. And the crowds could be caught up in that excitement. And so they strip the trees and the grasses in the fields to wave as flags and banners. And they took off their outer garments to lay on the road where Jesus was traveling. Finally, the king was coming. And everybody was caught up in that excitement. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he'd looked around at everything, as it was late, he left. Well, that feels like a bit of a letdown, doesn't it? All that brouhaha and noise and tumult. Jesus goes and has a wander around the temple and then goes home for the night. The disciples had recognized Jesus. They saw him for what he was, the one sent and anointed by God, the one who was God himself, the Son of God, the Word made flesh. And going into Jerusalem, they tapped into all that excitement and anticipation and had a huge street party. And then Jesus went home. I want to encourage you to use this moment, this morning, to let the lid off, to recognize that Jesus is the one sent from God, anointed for our salvation, God himself made flesh. And having found that within, to have made that discovery, to let it all out, to join with those who are making their public declaration today, so that the world may see and hear and get caught up in the excitement. But I also want to challenge you that walking in the footsteps of Jesus is not just about the delight and joy and comfort that we may get when we gather together. It's about carrying on when we don't have the excitement of what may happen in a church service. It's about the ordinariness of tomorrow morning, as well as the celebration of this morning. And our story today reminds us what that needs to look like. Those people that first Palm Sunday took what they had, their personal possessions, what they owned, what was important to them, what gave them identity, and they laid it at Jesus' feet. That's the first thing. That as it is important tomorrow, this time tomorrow, 10:30 on a Monday morning, it is as important then that the things that make you who you are, the things that are precious and important to you, the things that you have and own and do, that all those things, not just your Sunday things, all those things are laid at Jesus' feet. And that Jesus is able to be Lord of Monday morning as well as Sunday morning. That Jesus is Lord of your closest and most intimate relationships, and the way that you are a parent or a spouse or a child or a sibling or a friend or an employer or an employee or a colleague or a neighbor, that Jesus is Lord of those things. And that is made clear in the way that you are those things. That you bear witness to Jesus in the ordinariness of Monday morning, as well as the celebration of Sunday morning. And then they took the leaves from the branches from the trees and the tall grasses from the fields as a sign of Jesus' kingship, not just of their personal lives, but of public life. The waving of branches echoed the triumphal procession a couple of hundred years earlier in the last person to rule independently in Jerusalem before the Romans took over. And so the waving of branches was not just exuberant, it was making a political statement. It was saying, this man is Lord of the public sphere as well as my private life. And that too, we need to live on Monday morning as well as Sunday morning. That Jesus is Lord of all that shapes our communities, our neighborhoods, our borough, our nation, our world. And that we need to live in those contexts as those who are under the lordship of Christ. Speaking up and being counted for the sake of justice and reconciliation. Bearing the cost not just in our personal lives, but in the public square as well. This is a fabulous day to be confirmed and to reaffirm your baptism vows. The opportunity to say yes to Jesus in your own life and in the places that you are in the public sphere. It's not just about this morning. It's about tomorrow morning too, and the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning. So as we gather today and rejoice that Jesus is King, let us also count the cost of that in our own lives and in our shared public life. And commit ourselves alongside those who are reaffirming their vows and coming for confirmation, to join with those disciples in the triumph of Palm Sunday and to walk through Holy Week and Good Friday to die and rise again with Christ, that we might be his and be known as his. Amen.